Praise the Lord. I tell you, we're going to talk a little bit about faith tonight. We'll start off with faith, and we'll just believe the Lord will bless it. Amen. First question I'd like to ask, how many people do not have faith? I was in a meeting one time. I said, how many don't have faith? A little man raised his hand at the back, and I said, come up here, sir. And he said, why? I said, I'm going to pray for you to get saved. He said, I've been saved for 25 years. I said, you can't be saved. You don't have any faith. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So, if you read the word tonight, you find out, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, and we'll talk about where faith originates. I mean, no, faith originates in the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and also the finisher of your faith. In other words, what he started, he also completes. God doesn't just start something. God also completes what he starts. He's not only the author, which is the source. He's also the perfecter. So you see, what we're really doing is, we have this little measure of faith that God gave us, and now we have to get to the place where the faith becomes perfected. And perfect faith is the type of faith that has everything removed out of it that would try to hinder it. How many know? Faith mixed with doubt doesn't work. Faith mixed with unbelief doesn't work. Now, those are all the mixtures. So what you have to do is you have to realize that if you have a measure of God's faith, then he has no mixture in his faith. There's no doubt in the faith of God. There's no unbelief in the faith of God. There's no worry in the faith of God. Everything about the faith of God is totally perfect. So I have faith from the greatest source in the world, because the faith of God never fails. Also, faith for salvation originates in the Lord Jesus Christ, and faith for healing and deliverance and freedom and whatever your need may be originates in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Galatians 2:20 says. I, that's you, am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, who died for me, who gave himself for me. Did you know that the life that you're living right now, you're living by his faith down here in the flesh? Isn't that amazing? I live my life every day by God's faith. Some days I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to answer my prayer. But I've learned a long time ago that when I live by his faith, that he does things in ways that I never expected. Because you see, God's faith will work behind the scenes and bring miracles to pass, and you don't really know how those miracles are going to happen. Daniel did not know, while he was in the den full of lions, how God was going to deliver him. But how many know the Lord came down and delivered him because he had the kind of faith that's the God faith, and he believed in God. Now, if you go a little bit further, you find out the centurion had faith. I believe, Lord, if you could just speak the word, my servant shall be made absolutely whole. Now, I want to show you three things about the centurion. The first thing the centurion said to Jesus was, I am a man of authority. Now, I'm able to say to this one, go, and he goes. I'm able to say to this one, do this, and he does it. And I'm able to say to this one, come, and he comes. I am a man of authority. I'm a man that when I speak, everybody has faith in the words that I speak. But I only have faith in the realm of the natural. I don't have faith in the realm of the spiritual. Now, Jesus, I have the faith to believe that your faith is in the realm of the spiritual. Even though I have authority in the natural, your authority is not only in the natural, but also in the realm of the spirit. Now, if you would speak the word, I believe you could say words of faith and things will happen. And Jesus turned around and said, I have not found such great faith. And he turned around, he told the centurion, I'll come to your house. And the centurion said, don't come to my house, just go ahead and speak the word. I have faith in your word. Now, if an unbeliever can have faith in the word, If a man who doesn't even know God from a different religion has never had an experience with God can have faith in the Word, then how much more can you and I, the believer, have faith in the Word of God? So he went his way, and when he arrived home, they said the servant began to amend. When did he get better? Yesterday about this time, exactly when Jesus spoke the Word. So see, he realized that Jesus was the originator of faith, and he had to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to get. Now, there are two kinds of faith wrapped up in the Word. The one is the faith that God measures to man. How many know God has dealt to every man a measure of faith? Every person here tonight has a measure of God's faith. The second kind is the faith that you measure back to yourself. You can measure enough faith for a dime. You can measure enough faith for $1,000. You can measure enough faith for a healing, for a backache. You can measure enough faith for a healing of a cancer. You can measure enough faith for yourself to get saved. You can measure enough faith for your whole family to get saved. See, you have to measure your measure back to God. He gave you a little bit of His faith, but now you have to turn around and put that same faith into operation in order to receive what He has promised. So you have the faith. Every person here tonight has the faith, and I want you to know that God has enough ample to supply every one of your needs. Did you know that God can meet your need because He's your source? Did you know that God can heal your body because He's your source? Did you know that God can answer your prayer because He's your source? And did you know that God can solve your problems because He's your source? But you have to have faith in the source. See? You have to have faith. That's why the Bible says, have faith in God. Now, everyone here has faith tonight. I rode in a taxi cab today, and I had faith that He would get me there. I didn't sit in the back of the taxi cab and say, boy, excuse me, Brother Dick, I'm going to pray right now. I sure hope we get there. I never prayed. You know, I hope He gets me there. When I came to this part of the country, I came in an airplane. I didn't say, now, Lord, as I buckle up, I sure hope this pilot knows how to fly this plane. Because if I prayed that prayer, kind of prayer, I would have stayed at the airport, and I would have rather have hitchhiked all the way down this part of the world. But see, I have faith in a man that doesn't know God. I have faith in a taxi driver. I have faith in the banker. I have faith in a doctor. I have faith in my postman. I have faith that my banker's looking after my money. I have faith in the natural. Every one of them can fail, but God never fails. So if I can have faith in the natural, why can't I have faith in God? Because all these natural people, the banker didn't say, I guarantee the money will be all right. The taxi driver didn't say, I guarantee I'll get you there. The airplane pilot didn't say, I guarantee everything will be fine. The postman didn't say, that $100 that I just brought you a paper said you have, I guarantee you'll get it. None of these people have given me a guarantee. But the Word of God that I have faith in as a guarantee, God stands behind His Word, His wonders to perform. So all I have to do is have faith in God. Because I have it. See, He already gave it. He already gave it. He said, I'm giving Drummond Tom a portion of my faith. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give him the kind of faith that's going to move every mountain, every situation that comes his way. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the faith of God. Did you know that the faith of God is creative? In the beginning, God took a little bit of dust and He created man out of the dust of the earth. That's creative. No one else has ever done it. But God created you out of nothing. And David the psalmist said, we are marvelously and wonderfully made. So God's faith is creative. God created the heavens. God created the earth. God spanned the heavens. God put the sun. God put the moon out there. Everything God did, He created by the word of His power. God has creative faith. Not only is the faith of God created, but the second thing about it is the faith of God is productive. All of the children of Israel in Exodus 16:35, all of the children of Israel did eat manna for 40 years, and they came to a land inhabited, and they did eat the manna, and they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan, and they did eat the manna. Can you imagine? They never had an A&P store. They never had a Piggly Wiggly. Hey, there were no grocery stores around where every day Moses said, excuse me, folks, we need about 1,000 deacons right now. Run down to the store and get us a little bit of bread. Everybody needs bread right now. I want you to know, I read one time that if they were to load enough bread to feed the people for 40 days, they would have had to have 21 miles of railroad cars just to load all the bread so they could feed the people. And they'd have to have 21 miles of railroad cars every day to feed all those people. So Moses is in the wilderness. He doesn't have anything except he has the word of God and he has faith in God and he believes one thing. If I have a God who's creative on my side and I have a God who's productive, then God is going to produce. I don't know how he will produce it, but I have 4 to 6 million people in the wilderness and God is going to have to produce bread. And every day God came along and said, excuse me, folks, don't eat the same bread every day. I give you fresh ones. How many like stale donuts? Only if you're going to dunk. Amen? How many like those fresh ones? Oh, I love the fresh ones. Well, I'll tell you something. I've eaten a few fresh ones. That's why my institution is moving forward. Amen? But I tell you, every day they landed up there, God said, now I want to tell you something, folks. Only have manna for one day. Tomorrow you get fresh manna. Moses said, God, we need a little bit of meat. I'll take care of the meat. Man, they got out of bed one morning and looked up in the sky, and there wasn't one bird. There were millions of birds up there. And I tell you what, when those quails came down, they had, I love quail. That's good meat, folks. That's better than chicken. Now, I don't know if God plucked them. But I know one thing, when those birds came down, they just walked over every day fresh manna. Every day God gave them fresh meat, and then Moses said, about some water? We've got to have a little bit of God's champagne. How about a little bit of water? So every day God said, all right, just walk over to the rock, type of Jesus, and just go over there and the water will come. And God produced manna and water. And all of a sudden, God produced for them all these blessings in the wilderness. And Moses said, well, God, I tell you, we have another problem now. We don't have any supermarkets. There are no Conways. I've just been out of Conway today down in New York to buy my grandbaby some clothes. We don't have a Conway. We don't have a Walmart. We don't have a Kmart. We don't have a Target. We don't have a Dillard's. We don't have a Macy's. Lord, we don't have anything. And the people are getting growing up and they need clothes. Lord said, don't worry. He has a little baby, 1 year of age. He turns 6. All of a sudden, his shoes start growing with his feet. Amen. How many read that in the Bible? He has another one of you. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'm 10 years of age right now and my dress is a little bit too short. Lord, all of a sudden the dress starts growing. No miniskirts. Hey? He has a man 25 years of age. He said, well, I've outgrown my suit. I just gained 50 pounds. God said, well, I'll just give you a new one. Hallelujah. And the suit grew with the body. You see, God is productive. God's faith is not only creative. God's faith is not only productive, but God's faith is powerful. The third thing about the faith of God, it's powerful. In Joshua's day, God eliminated a whole city. All of a sudden, the word of the Lord went forward, and the Bible says that Joshua marched around Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, and the walls became level with the floor. That's God's faith. That's powerful. And you know what? If you read the words, God's power has eliminated armies, cities, and Satan and demons, because of the faith of God, have been totally overcome. Let me tell you something about God's faith. The Bible says David heard there was a lion and a bear attacking the sheep, and David was just 17 years of age when he walked over to the lion and the bear, and he took on the lion and the bear by faith, and the power, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, came upon him, and he eliminated a lion and a bear. God's faith is powerful. And one more thing about the faith of God. The faith of God is protective. You can be protected by God's faith. You see, there were three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. The Bible said they dined on the outside, they dined on the left, they dined on the right. And an old brother, the three Hebrew brothers, walked into the middle of that fire, bound hand and foot. And the Bible says, while they were dying on the outside, the three men of God walked right inside and said, "Our God is able to deliver us." And God put a protective armor around them and kept them from being burned to death, because God's faith is protective. God knows how to protect you. And if you read the word, they were delivered because God was there to come to their rescue. Now, who has faith? God has dealt to every man and every woman in a measure of faith. Amen? Every person here has a measure of faith. Your measure of faith starts with saving faith. The moment you're born into the family of God, you have just acquired the faith of God. The moment you say, "Jesus, come into my heart," God just imparted to you his faith. So you have faith. Now, if you have faith tonight according to the word of the Lord, then you have to realize that your faith has to be the kind of faith that believes in spite of what the situation says. So God gave you a little bit of faith called believing faith, but he gave you a substance. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I can see it. How do you know you're going to get it? I have the evidence. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I have the evidence. My evidence tonight is the word of the Lord. That's all the evidence I have tonight. And if I have the evidence tonight, see, your faith is actually a reality. And when you ask according to the word, your faith that's a reality always becomes not only a reality, but it becomes manifested in a form where God begins to move in ways that you never thought possible. My dad went to the Lord one time and he said, "I would like to have a car. I must have a car for the mission field." And the Lord said, "All right, I'll give you a car." So my dad said, "Well, let me pick the color." So he was in a little town in Iowa, and he was taking a walk down the road before he preached that night, and he saw this car. It was yellow and gold. He said it was mustard and mayonnaise. So my dad walked over to the car. Nobody was looking, laid hands on it. And he said, "Lord, I want a car like this one. Mustard and mayonnaise. Now thank you, Lord, for the car." And he left and he went to preach in the next town. And he said, "I was preaching in the next town, took a walk the next day. There's another one of those cars." Walked over, said, "Lord, there's my car." See, now what he did was, faith in the word was the evidence that God was going to bring to pass and manifest the thing that he was praying about. Now, he didn't have the money. He couldn't see how it was going to happen, but the word of the Lord was his source. The faith of God that God gave him was a reality. And as long as he believed in what God said, and as long as he had faith in God, he was going to bring to pass what the Lord said, because he knew, he had found out it was the will of God for him to have the car. But the Lord told him to choose the color. So next day, he has the same car, same color. "Lord, mustard and mayonnaise, this is the color. Put in my," or my dad used to say, "I'm putting in my order." And he laid hands on the car and he walked around town. Oh, I just can see myself in Africa driving that car. Man, I'm going to go all over the country driving that car. Hallelujah. And he'd go to bed at night praising God. Now, he couldn't see, but he was praising God for what he believed would become a reality, because the faith of God was stirring up in his heart. And when it got a hold of his spirit, all of a sudden, the faith overwhelmed the natural man. And the natural man, when it tried to oppose the spirit man was so strong that the spirit man said, "It's going to happen. Just keep believing, Brother Tom, and God will bring it to pass." So he went to preach in a little house where the people had this lake in front of the house, four-car garage. They had airplanes. They belonged to the farmers' hybrid. They had corn farms. They had gas stations. And my dad came to preach. And when he got through, the man of the house walked over and said, "Brother Tom, when are you going back to Africa?" He said, "I'm going back next week. Do you need a car?" And my dad said, "Well, the Lord's going to give me a car. I've been praying about it." He said, well, we bought you one. Would you like to see your car? Took my dad in one of the garages, opened up the door, and there stood one mustard and mayonnaise Chevrolet, just like he believed, just like he laid hands on, and God made it a reality. Now, what was that? Faith is the faith is the evidence of what I can't see. But you see, if you can't see it, and you're going to have faith that it's going to happen, you have to have faith in something. So what did he have faith in? He had faith in the Word. Do you know the highest, most powerful force in the whole world is the Word of God? My Bible said that God said, I have honored my Word above all of my name. Did you know that the heavens and the earth may pass away, but the Word of the Lord will never pass away? When I was a boy and I traveled with F.F. Bosworth, you know what he told me? He said, don't doubt the Word. Doubt your doubts. He said, your doubts will lie to you, but the Word of God doesn't lie. Your doubts will try to talk you out of the Word and try to make you reason away the promises of God, but don't you dare disbelieve what the Word says. You believe and you talk the walk of faith, and God will start moving and he'll bring the Word to pass. Because he said, you carry within you the substance, the reality, the Word of God. And the Word of God is more powerful than what you see in the natural, because the Word of God emanates right from the very throne room, and what God has in heaven is greater than what we have on earth. And when God moves up there, he'll move down here. How many know if you win the battle in the heavenlies, it'll manifest on the earth? Amen. Don't try to win your battle down there. Get in the presence of God. Come to the prayer meeting. Get in the presence of God. Lay in the presence of God. Let the Lord get a hold of you and turn you upside down and get into the throne room, and what's done in heaven will be manifest down here. You know what my Bible says in Psalm chapter 23? It says, thy will be done in earth like it is in heaven. Shall I repeat it? Thy will be done in earth. It didn't say on earth. If you have an on earth Bible, cross it out. How many know this is earth? How many know this is earth? Thy will be done in earth like it is in heaven. Is there any doubt in heaven? No. He wants it to be the same way in earth. Is there any fear in heaven? No. Wants it to be the same way in earth. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. Wants it to be the same way. Is there any sin in heaven? No. Wants it to be the same. Is there any poverty in heaven? No. Wants it to be the same way in earth. That's God's will. Everything that's in the will of God is there to bless you. But you have to want it. Now, I asked the Lord a question one time, because I read in my Bible, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, ask and you shall receive. Then it says, seek and you shall find. Then it says, knock and it shall be open unto you. So I asked the Lord this question. I said, you answer me, Father. We talk a lot. I said, why should I ask you when you already know? Why should I seek you when you already know? Why should I knock when you already know? And the Lord said to me, because when you ask, it's a sign of faith. When you seek me, it's a sign of faith. When you knock on the door of heaven, it's a sign of faith. He said, I know what you need. I know your situation, but I want you to come to me with total 100% faith, so that I can look you over and say, the reason they are asking is because they read what I said and they're doing something about it. Now let me say it in English, because Jesus repeated it three more times. See? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. For everyone that seeketh findeth. For everyone that knocketh, to them it shall be opened. Now how many ever asked and nothing happened? I asked one time and nothing happened. So I said, Lord, nothing happened. He said, I'm going to teach you the fruit of patience. I'm going to develop it. How many have asked God to something and all of a sudden the biggest trials in the world started hitting you? Hey, the trial of your faith works what? Patience. So you asked God to do it. You sought the Lord. You knocked on the door. Now you're walking around and you're saying, well, he didn't do it. He didn't. No, while you're walking in the realm of patience, God's developing the fruit inside of you. The trial of your faith is not to defeat you. The trial of your faith is to educate you. So the next time you go through another situation, you knew how you went through it last time. You know how to go through it this time. All right, let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, I tell you, you can read some of the best material that God has made available to his people. And it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Because I am saved, because I am justified, I have peace in every situation. Does everybody have peace? Do you have peace when everything's going wrong? Do you have peace when it looks like you're not going to make it? I went down to the airport and a fellow looked at me and said, I'm sorry, you're not on the plane. And I looked at him and I said, I made a reservation. And he looked at me and said, well, I'm sorry, the plane is full. He said, I'm sorry, sir. So I looked in the corner and there was a big man over there, a real large one, and he's smoking a big long, one of the biggest cigars I ever saw. So I looked at him and I said, I don't think he's going to Florida to preach. I said, I am. I said, Lord, you'll have to bump him. Because I need his seat. I said, I'm going to preach. And I made a reservation, Lord, and they tell me they don't have it. But I believe tonight I'm going to win souls. I'm going to pray for the sick. I'm going to cast out devils. I'm going to do the will of God. Therefore, I'm going to have a seat. And I went back to the desk. I said, how's my seat doing? Oh, Mr. Tom, you don't have a seat. 1 minute before they closed the door, they weren't too happy with me because I went back again. Because, see, I've been standing in the corner thanking God for my seat. I have learned the secret of how to cause your faith to come to pass. You have to learn how to be a praiser. You know what happens when you praise God? The Bible said you get a testimony. Every time I praise God by faith and he brings it to pass, I have a new story to tell. I just go around telling stories all the time. You mean the Lord did that for you? Yes. You mean God answered your prayer? Yes. You mean you had that miracle? Yes. I have a fella, a black brother, who comes to my church, and he was living in Louisville. He's working out of my church for a while. He's moved down to Catalina. And one day he was riding down the road, and he saw all these people coming out of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, he had 5 kids. He said, oh, God, I wish we had chicken. And he's driving down the highway, and he saw this big box in a paper bag laying on the side of the walk. And as he drove by, the Lord said, there's your chicken. He said, yes. Lord said, there's your chicken. You said you wish you had chicken. There's your chicken. So he turned the car around, and surely somebody had gone down the road with a truck, and they dropped a box of chicken, and there was his chicken. Man, he was so excited. God gave me chicken. Now, what did he do? He asked God to do it, and he had a testimony. Amen? He had a story. If you ask God to do something, you'll have such a story to tell. You'll be telling all. You know what the Lord did for me? Man, I talked to the Lord about it. He answered my prayer. He gave me a miracle. I tell you what, I just had. Let me tell you what happened to me. I want to tell you the best way to save your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones, your enemies, and even your in-laws. Don't get religious on them. You need to get saved. You're going to hell. You're going to burn. I can smell it right now. Don't get religious on them. All you do is you entice them by telling them a good story. Let me tell you what God did. You want to make a fisherman envious? Tell him, you know, don't tell him, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. Tell him, you know, I went fishing the other night and I caught this big fish. Man, I know where they abide in. You'll say, where? Tell me where. Amen? If you have the word of faith in your mouth and you speak it, you'll have a testimony of what God did. You know what the Bible said about people who praise God? They make the best proclaimers. They don't proclaim doubt. Well, I don't believe God's going to answer my prayer, Brother Tom. I tell you what, I just prayed and nothing happened. And every day I get out of bed and I just don't expect it to happen. No wonder it doesn't happen. You don't expect it to happen. You have to put your feet on the floor and say, praise God, this is my day. And I don't know how God's going to do it. But I tell you, I'm a man. I'm a woman of faith. I have the very faith of God. The faith of God doesn't fail. The faith of God is powerful and mighty. God gave me a measure. Hallelujah. It originates from heaven. And heaven is in me. Hallelujah. It's in my bones. It's in my mouth. Hallelujah. And I'm going to speak the word of the Lord. And the Lord is going to bring it to pass. And when you ask, don't worry about the trials. Because the enemy has to make his last stand. And he'll come against your mind. Now, let me teach you a little lesson. Learn how to cast down imagination. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 5. The spirit, amen, and the flesh. The Bible said the flesh lusteth or worketh against the spirit. Your flesh has said this about you. You've been my prime doubter for years. I've had you worrying for years. I have kept you in fear for years. I have kept you under my sway for years. And your flesh, when you start to change, says, I don't want to change. Don't you dare change me now. And so between your flesh and your spirit, there's a war going on. And you know what you have to do? You have to reach what I call a crescendo in the realm. You have to rise above the flesh into the realm of the spirit. You have to activate the anointing. You have to move into God's realm. And when you get into the realm of faith, which is God's realm, then all of a sudden, God does things for you and you just sit back and start enjoying it. I don't know how the Lord did that. The little man looked at me and he said to me as I arrived at his house, he said, you know what? I'm going bankrupt. And I said, shake hands. You see, he said, you know, I've heard all about you, Mr. Tom. I heard you're a faith preacher. I heard you go all over the world preaching faith. He said, how can you shake hands with me when I said, I'm going bankrupt? I said, because, you see, confession means you say the same thing as the other person. I said, you just confessed it, and you're going to own exactly what you confess. I said, but I'll teach you a lesson. Give me your hand. Standing on the sidewalk in the little town of Moline, Illinois, I grabbed the hand of this man who's a preacher who has a radiator business and fixes 5 car radiators a day, and I took him by the hand and I said to him, I'm going to pray for you. And he looked at me and said, on the sidewalk? I said, well, I just saw a man walk by smoking a cigarette on the sidewalk. And I said, there's a fella down there, and he's got a little bottle in a brown paper bag, and he's drinking it on the sidewalk. And I heard someone use a four-letter word on the sidewalk. I said, why can't we pray on the sidewalk? Man, I got him by the hand. I said, you devil. He said, you talking to me? Now I'm talking to the devil. I'm talking to the same devil that said through you, I'm going bankrupt. I said, you didn't say that, did you? I said, you're a preacher. You know the word. You didn't really mean to say that, did you? He said, well, something inside of me saying it. I said, it's not the Spirit of God. It must be your flesh. It's that carnal man that never got arrested yet and turned himself over and said, all right, Lord, I give you myself 100% unreservedly. Man, I had him by the hand. I held on. You know, I said, in the name of Jesus, Father, give him radiators. That's it. He even looked at me and said, is that all you pray? I said, I didn't come to have a prayer meeting. But that's very, he said, sir, that's very short. I said, I want to tell you something. I did all my praying before I got you. I went into a church the other day and the pastor met me at the door and he said, so glad to have you, Brother Tom. Glad to meet you, sir. Would you like to pray? I said, it's too late now. He said, what do you mean it's too late now? I said, can you see a man going to war And when he gets on the battlefield, they have him a rifle, and they say, learn to shoot it. You know what happened? He wake up dead. You don't go to war to learn to shoot a rifle. You go to boot camp. Amen? If you're going to fight the devil, if you're going to pray, and you're going to operate in faith, you better get there before you get on the battlefield. When you arrive to face the devil, you better be well equipped. You better be armed. You better have on the whole armor of God. You better be walking in the power and the might, hallelujah, of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Because when the devil approaches you, he's already been to his boot camp. He's already marked you. He got your name, your address, your telephone number. He knows everything about you. When you wake up in the morning, he's sitting right in the chair saying, I'm going to get you today. He's ready to pounce. So when you get out of bed in the morning, when you just say, praise God, this is my day. Amen. Amen. So I prayed for him. I looked at him, I said, I'm praying for you this way, positively, by faith. Lord, give him readiness. I said, do me a favor, sir. He said, what? I said, it's 9 o'clock at night. Why don't you go to bed? Why? Because I want to go in your church and have a praise meeting. I turned around and I went, he gave me the key. I walked in the church. I tell you what, I never been in a church like that. I felt these spirits. All of a sudden, I sort of, see, I believe in praying, then I believe in praising, then I believe in worship. See, how many know when you get in the airplane, it goes slowly down the runway, and then all of a sudden it gets into the cruise. Then you don't even know you're moving. So you go into the presence of God, and you take your prayer request, then you start having a little praise meeting, and then you break loose in the spirit, and then you're just in the flow of worship. Hallelujah. So I went in the church, and I said, Lord, I've come to thank you. See, I talk to God. We are family. He knows who I am. He wants to know who you are. And if he's going to get to know you, you can come to him every now and then. And let me repeat what I said before. You cannot only go to God when you have a need. You need to serve God when you don't have a need. The neighbor knocked on the door and said, well, glad to meet you. What can I do for you? Need a cup of sugar and a couple of eggs. I'm getting ready to make a cake. And the neighbor said, but I've never seen you before. And the neighbor said, I've never needed sugar and eggs before. Amen? Well, Lord, I just want you to know it's me, and I need a job, I need a house, I need a car, I need a wife, I need a dog, I need a husband, I need money. Lord said, I never seen you before. Well, I never needed anything before. See? You have to come to God, and you have to build a relationship based on day-by-day fellowship, and you have to fellowship God to the extent that he so instills within you his anointing, his power, his faith, that when you walk out of his throne room and you come back to where you're supposed to be, you will project such an anointing that when you look at people, you look them over, whatever they say, you will move in the realm of the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and by your words will turn them upside down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I walked in the church and praised God for radiators. Thank you for radiators. And I heard the voice of the devil. Now, I've heard the devil and I've been approached by him many times. But I heard the devil say, where do you think God's going to get radiators? So what I do when he asks me such ignorant questions is, because see, what he's trying to do is move me into the realm of reason. Well, now you better reason it out. You can't see them. So I don't move into the, I don't answer. You don't answer the devil. Hey, you don't talk to him. He'll talk to you. Don't talk back. So he said, where do you think God's going to get radiators? And I walked around and said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for radiators. I can see radiators. Hey. And I heard the devil, after about 10 minutes, say, what if God doesn't give you radiators? I thought it was time to talk. I said, sir, what if God does give me radiators? I never heard from him again. See, he challenged me. I challenged him back that time. And I had my praise meeting. Thank you for radiators, Lord. Thank you. And I went to bed that night. I remember I went to bed, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard the telephone ring.
And I heard the preacher say, "I'll be right there. I'm coming right now." And I heard him just go down the stairs of that double-story house. And 8 o'clock at breakfast, I got up and I said, "How you doing, sir?" "I'm doing fine, Brother Tom. You look so happy. What happened to you?" 3 o'clock this morning, a truck came down the road with a 42-foot trailer bed on the back, with 42, not car, John Deere radiators on the back. The man was asleep. He jackknifed it. 42 radiators laying all over the street. "Brother Tom, I'm the smallest ad in the Yellow Pages. They phoned me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went down there and picked out 37, and I'm getting 5 more today." I got 42 radiators in 12 hours. You know where I spent the next 2 weeks? Working in a radiator shop. Man, he was so excited. He took me out. He wanted to buy me a jacket. He wanted to buy me a pants. He wanted to buy me a tie. His wife said, "We'll buy him a steak, too." I say, "I want a baked potato, too." God provided. You see, that's what real faith believes. See, faith is that substance. Faith is that, as the Bible puts it, that actual reality. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the proof. The proof that you're going to get what the Word says is what the Word says. "This is my proof." Your proof is not what you see. Your proof is what the Word says. "I can't see it." You have the proof. "This is better than the finished product." "Oh, I've got the Word." I just walk around. You know what I do? I walk around with this Bible and I just say, "Praise God, I got it, I got it." I lift God's Word up to Him like a mirror. I say, "Read it, Lord. You wrote it, you read it, I read it, amen." And God just said, "Yeah, that's what I said." I said, "Thank you, Lord. You know what you said? I know what you said. You expect to do it for me as long as I believe in you." I have faith in God. Now let me tell you something about your faith, all right? You have the kind of faith, as the Bible terms it, and I want you to know something about faith without works is dead. If you read the Word, listen to this. Faith without works is dead. You have to come to God with your faith, and sometimes you have to put a little bit of works. You may have to praise Him. You may have to worship Him. Or if the Lord speaks to you, you may have to go out and do what He told you to do. God tells you, do it. But don't ever run ahead of God. See? Faith without works is dead. I believe God can. I believe God will. I heard a fellow say this day, as he was leading some singing in the church I was in, he said, "One of these days, God's going to raise the dead. One of these days, God's going to open the blind eyes. One of these days, the devils are going to come out." And I was sitting at the back and I said, "What do you mean, one of these days? Now's the time. This is the day." See? So when you read the Word, what I just read you right now, you have to do a little bit of work. I lay hands on the sick. When I first started in the ministry, you know what I did? I just wanted to cast out devils. I just wanted to lay hands on the sick. I just wanted to... I went after every deaf ear I could. I mean, I would chase people down. "Are you deaf?" "Yeah." "Hey." I would pray for people that never heard in their life, and I'd turn them the other way and I'd say, "Can you hear?" And they'd say, "No." They were deaf so long, even when they got healed, they still believed they were deaf. I said, "You healed?" "Oh yeah, I am. Yeah, I did get healed." All right, now, how can I have and move in faith? First of all, you have to get knowledge of God's promises. Get knowledge. Every promise of God in His Word is a direct revelation to us of what He is eager to do for us. God is more anxious to do for you than what you know. You know, the Lord owns the cattle of 1,000 hill. I was driving through Africa one time, and there I was. And I looked across there in the Karoo, and the Lord said to me, "Do you know that a cattle of 1,000 hill is mine?" And I said, "I know that." And the Lord said to me, "See those cattle over there? You take 1,000 hills and you jam them to yes, you do. Amen. To capacity with cattle." And He said, "That will all belong to me." I said, "I know that." And the Lord said, "That's just an example of what's mine. You know, ever since then, I get to know what the promises are. I know what God's... You have to get to know what the promises of God say, because listen to this. As you get to know what the promises of God say, you will find out that God's word will not fail. He will do what he says. Listen to this. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John chapter 8 and verse 32. You shall know the truth. That's the promises. And the promises will set you free. Listen to this. You need to have a good diet. How many have a good diet? You know what I have for breakfast this morning? Matthew. You know what I'm having for breakfast tomorrow? Mark. You know what I'm having for breakfast next day? Luke. You know what I'm having breakfast next day? Hey? John. You know what I'm having for breakfast Friday? Acts. And then I'm doing a little bit of Romans. I'm not Roman. I'm doing a little bit of Romans. Every day I have my Wheaties. Amen? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, follow on. Hallelujah. And every day I eat the Word. I'm building my spirit man. See, I'm getting to know my promises. If I know the promises, I can only act on what I know. If I don't know it, I can't enjoy it. So number one, get to know the promises. Number two, you need to not only get to know what the promises say, you need to ask God to fulfill it. We have not because we ask not. Ask and you shall receive. John chapter 16, 24. John 16, 24. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Now, if your joy isn't full, if you are missing something, if you are sick all the time, if you are living in poverty all the time, if you are living in sin all the time, if you are living suppressed by the devil, if you are oppressed all the time, if the enemy's brought you into bondage all the time, if you are not living the life of total 100% faith where God has given you a release in your spirit, then you need to ask and believe that you have received. I don't have to live like this. I will not let the devil walk all over me. Satan, you are not the one with the walking shoes. Jesus said, I give Drummond Tom a pair of shoes. I have had and you have had your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. When you have your feet shod with the gospel of peace, you're walking around with the peace of God all over you. Isn't it great to live in peace? Get out of bed in the morning, you don't have a thing, and you turn around and say, praise God, hallelujah. I know what the promises say. I've asked him. I'm going to receive. And he said, when I ask and I'm going to receive, he said, I'm going to give it to you so that you might be full of joy. So you just walk around every day and say, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Listen to this. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 John 5, 14, 15. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we receive the petition that we desired of him. Whatever you ask, if you ask him to fulfill the promise, whatever you ask, you know why you're going to receive it? Because you asked according to what? The will of God. How many know what I'm holding in my hand is the will of God? So when you ask according to the will of God, now don't ask after your own lust. Lord, this is what I want. Why do you want it? Well, I want it. I think it'll be good for me. No? I have a friend who was in California, and the other day he said, I'm going to look at a boat. So we went to look at a boat, and he bought a boat. I'm going to look at a brand new BMW. So he leased the BMW. And while he was looking at them, I sat in a Bentley. Oh, when I was a body and fender man, I used to work on Bentleys. I sat in a Bentley. I tell you what. Oh, you should have seen the color. You should have seen the inside. I sat in it, but I didn't ask after my lust. I tell you what, I sat in it. And I went around, I told everybody, I sat in the Bentley. They said, why didn't you buy it? $369,000. I asked the salesman, I said, you got anything cheaper? He said, yes. There's a cheap one over there, $339,000. I didn't walk around and say, oh God, I've got to have that car. I've got to have that car. I've got to have that car. You see, you don't ask according to your lust. You ask according to the will of God. If God wants you to have something, he'll give it to you. But he'll only give it to you on the basis that he knows that that's what you need.
He's not going to just give it to you for the, well, they asked me, so I got to do it. No, God doesn't work that way. God gives you because, the Bible says, it's His will. As we gain knowledge, we find out His will. His word is His will. The foundation that we build on with our faith is His word. Unwavering faith always receives what God's made possible. You know what the leper said? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so Jesus took this big eraser. He said, let me erase the if. And he said, I will. Now the leper came for a miracle. He said, if you will, you can do it. And Jesus said, that is my will. That is my will. Just let me get rid of your if. So he got rid of the if. See? So when you come to God, have knowledge of the promises. When you come to God, ask Him to do it by faith. And when you come to God, start acting on those promises as though they were already fulfilled. Amen. Real faith is simply believing and acting. It is knowledge changed into action. Knowledge without obedience is not faith. Act on the word. You ask Him to deliver or heal you. Begin to do the things that you could not do before. I prayed for someone. I said, you believe you healed? Yes. All right, get up and walk. I can't do that. You believe you healed? Yes. Get up and walk. Well, I haven't done that for a year. You believe you healed? Yes. Well, why don't you act it? They got up and started, oh, I didn't know I could do that. I started walking around the building. I said, you knew you could do it, couldn't you? Well, I didn't know I could. I said, you did really know, didn't you? You just needed someone to prime the pump and tell you to do it. And you see, the more I get in the Word, the more you get in the Word, the more you feed your spirit man, the more your spirit man comes to the forefront, the more you start talking the language of faith instead of the language of doubt and unbelief. Now I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. You are God's mouth. What you speak when you speak, don't speak anything contrary to the Word. I read with Boswell's book years ago, Great Man of God. You know what he said? Every time you speak something contrary to the word, it's just like saying, Lord, I really don't believe what you said. It's just a lie. You have to speak the language of faith, which is God's language. Let me repeat. Let there be a sun. How can you make a sun out of nothing? Let there be a moon. How can you make a moon out of nothing? Let there be a man. How can you make a man out of dust? Let there be. Let there be. And everything God said came to pass. You have that kind of faith. The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt believe, believe where? In thine heart, that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You know what the greatest miracle is? Raising the dead. When Jesus died, God raised him from the dead. If raising Jesus from the dead is the greatest miracle, then every other miracle is lesser than salvation. So if God could save you just like that, the greatest miracle in the world, then God can answer your prayers quicker than he saved you. But see, what happens to us is from the time that we ask to the time that we see the manifestation is what really bothers us. You have to ask God to do it just like you asked. I just asked him to get saved, sir. What happened to you? I got saved. I just asked him to answer my prayer. What happened? Well, I can't see it. No. The moment you asked him to do it, start walking around and acting like it. Faith who outworks is dead. Act like it. Run around and tell all your friends, you know, God answered my prayer. I can't see it. Doesn't look like it. God answered my prayer. How do you know? Because I have the evidence. I have the word. I asked according to his will. The word of God is the will of God. I know God heard me when I prayed. Therefore, I'm just rejoicing in the fact that what he said, he has brought to pass. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many believe you have faith? Everyone raise your hand and say, Lord. Thank you for a measure of your faith.
Thank you for a measure of your faith.
Thank you that that faith in me,
that you put in me,
is going to become so alive,
so vibrant,
so real,
that I'm going to move my mountains.
And every situation
that comes against me
is going to be a stepping stone
to the next victory.
And I'm going to grow.
I'm from faith to faith, from faith to faith. And my faith, which is mountain moving, is going to cause me to help others, not only to grow, but also to move their mountains. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.